Morning. If you have your Bibles, brethren, please turn to the book of Galatians. Chapter 1. Book of Galatians, chapter 1. Title of the message is The Sovereign of God's Grace. We want to begin reading in verse 1 down through 5. First Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 down through 5. Paul and an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God's Word says in Hebrews that in old times that God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets, but in his last days he spoke to us by his Son. God would speak directly to the prophets, and the prophets would relay that message, as we know, to the people. When Christ began his earthly ministry, he taught his apostles himself and trained them to the gospel. The only one that was different, as we know, Paul taught the 12 apostles while he was here on the earth. But after his resurrection, Paul was on his way to Damascus, and Christ appeared unto him, and that's whenever he received his apostleship. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to look at that, if you would, please. If you have your Bibles for a second, turn to Acts 26 and hold your place. Acts 26, verse 13 through 18. There was a lot of people that did not like Paul. The Jews did not like Paul because of the message that he preached. He preached the gospel of sovereign grace, and they did not like that. And they tried to discredit him, for they knew that if they could discredit the messenger, they could discredit the message. And the world was full of false prophets at that time. And Paul was very passionate because after his conversion, he spent 3 years in Arabia being taught the gospel by the Spirit of God. And he was very compassionate about it, and he was always having to be on the defense of it because he believed it with all of his heart, soul, and mind, just like his elect does. It says here in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul," his later name became Paul, "why persecute thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, and to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then in verse 2 he writes, to all the brethren that are with me unto the church of Galatia. The word body, if you'll notice, the word body of Christ is always singular in the scripture. Romans 12:5 says, so we are being many, are one body in Christ. As we know, the world that we live in, there are many churches, and it says there's many churches in Galatia, but actually there's only one church, and that is a church that God the Father elected before the foundation of the world and placed in Christ Jesus. And that's the church that we're talking about here. It says here, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. And when we talk about the head of the church, the Bible says in Galatians 1:18 that Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The church is the body of Christ, and there's only one church, and the one church which he purchased by his own blood on the cross. There are only one church, one body, one Redeemer, one purpose, one Father, and there is only one Bible, one Scripture, one Gospel. The one true church, as I said before, are the people that God the Father had placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. If you have a minute, look at just turn over a few places to Galatians 1, verses 4 through 6. It's just a few pages over. Galatians 1, or Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. God's Word says, according as he hath chosen us, as the elect, in him, as Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We'll go back to Galatians 1, verse 3. The Bible says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The cause of salvation is the grace of God. Salvation is the Lord, and we see that grace of God in electing sinners into salvation in God's eternal covenant of grace. And then we see the grace of God in justifying the guilty sinner. And we are justified by the precious sacrificial blood of the Lamb of Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, someone may say, well, you know, I believe, I have faith, I repent. That's something you hear a lot in the religious world. I. But all of those are the gifts from God. If you have a minute, look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3. We want to see what Paul says about belief. Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. Listen to this. This has to do with faith that people think that they can muster up themselves, but they don't. It's a gift from God. It says, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. But now listen close to this. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that's a precious gift from God right there. And then people may say, well, I believe. Well, even in that belief, is a gift from God. Because Paul and Barnabas was preaching the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ to the Jews, and they refused to believe. So they said, we'll go to the Gentiles. So they go to the Gentiles. You don't have to turn, but he looks in Acts 13:48. God says that, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. When the religious world looks at that, they say as many as believe were ordained. But they don't say that. Ordained is the same word as approved or elect. All those that were elected before the foundation of the world, that is to people that believe the gospel, the sovereign gospel of Christ. And then we see here, go back to your text, we see here that a man may say, well, I can repent. You know, I can repent. No, I can't repent. I don't have it in me to repent. But let's look what the scriptures say here in Romans 2:4 about repentance. It's a precious. All good gifts and all perfect gifts come down from the Father. It says here in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and the long suffering? Not knowing, listen to this, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Sovereign grace is all of God. It is not in a fallen sinner's nature to do anything pertaining to his salvation. We contribute nothing to our salvation. It is all of God. We do not contribute anything to it. And then Isaiah 64:6, this is just one of the many good reasons that we don't. It says, speaking of man, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. God applies salvation. He sustains salvation. And he perfects salvation. Salvation is all not of works, but it is all of grace. It always has been and it always will be. And that's something that Paul is constantly having to defend is the true gospel of grace of God. Let's turn back to Galatians 1:3. It says, here we have peace with God. You know, there can be no peace with God without grace, but peace with God is made through the blood atonement. That's the only way that it is made. We have our atonement by our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no peace of God outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no grace based on the performance that we do. It's all of Christ. It's the person, the work, faith, sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ is the heart of salvation. And that's what it comes down to. If you will, for a minute, if you don't care, look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5:5. By the way, we all know that the Word of God is absolute truth. If there ever was an absolute truth, it's the Word of God. 1 John 5. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but death and darkness. But inside Christ, look at this. Verse 11 in chapter 5 of John 1. And this is a record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He goes on to say, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you may have, that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And speaking of the Son of God, Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Salvation is in a person. Christ Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Peace with God was made by the blood of Christ, and only by the blood of Christ. He made peace with God for us. Grace, goodwill, and favor only comes through Christ our Lord, his blood atonement. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now Now think about that. Think about it. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. By the Father electing the people before the foundation of the world and placing them in Christ, Christ has not only made peace through his blood for us, but we also don't enjoy peace with God, but we also have the peace of God living in us. And I thank God for that. We all thank God for that. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, the Bible says, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" We don't belong to wrong. We belong to God. We were bought with a price. And then Jesus said over in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in another place in the scriptures, we need to put our trust. I need to put my trust more than what I do in my Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his sacrifice. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God." That's wonderful. But we have peace, God, and he's living in us. And then let's go back to our text in chapter 4. It says, why do we have this peace and grace with God? If you look at Galatians 1, verse 4, it says down here, who gave himself, Christ Jesus, he gave himself for our sins, the elect, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father. We have peace and grace with God because he gave himself. Romans 10:18 says, Jesus our Lord said, no man take it from me. I laid it down myself, and I have power to take it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. The Christ's death in the place of sinners perfectly satisfied the just demands of God's holy law, whereby making it possible for God to forgive his elect that he had placed in his Son before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus died as our substitute. And that was one reason that Paul was so heedy, so compassionate about the gospel, for the true gospel, the certified gospel. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Paul, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then if you look at the Bible over in Acts 4, you don't have to turn, but it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must believe. But he is our substitute. He knew no sin, and he made no sin for us. His sacrifice for sin is our atonement. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. And he did that. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. And he not only, when he died on that cross and shed his blood, he not only took the sins of his people in him, but he imputed his righteousness into his people. His perfect obedience to the Father is our righteousness. We have imputed righteousness through Christ. And because of the person, the work, the sacrifice, the blood, and the blessed Lamb of God, Christ gave himself to us, his people, his elect, his church, and his body. And then it says over in 1 John 4:10, listen to this, herein is love. Not that we love God. We couldn't love God. God loved us, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christ Jesus is called the Lord our righteousness. And he says here, back in Galatians 1, he delivered us by himself, all by himself, with no help from anyone at all. And that he said that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And we do live in an evil world. But there's a new world coming where nothing but righteousness dwells. It says in Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. But there's three things about this present world that's important that we, as God's elect, needs to know. This is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through, just through. You know, the Bible says that life is like a vapor. And if you've got any age on you at all, you know that. It appears for a little while and it's gone. But Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. Sin is evil in the nature of this world, and we know that. And the death is the end of this world. But verse 4 says that Christ would deliver us from all of this. And if Christ says that he'll do it, he'll do it. If you don't have to turn, but it says over in Ephesians 6:11-12, you know, there's a lot of things that we all go through, things we don't understand and things that is so hard to deal with. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:11-12, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. And we often forget that, don't we? Of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 3. Just a few pages over to Galatians 3. I thank God for His written Word. Thank God for His Word. Galatians chapter 3. Look at the first four verses in Galatians 3 and chapter 3, the first four verses. It says, if ye then, and he's speaking to his elect, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that a blessing? God's word says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. And then John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Over in the book of John, it says, beloved, now are you the sons of God, and it doth not appear what you shall be, but when he shall appear, you shall see him as he is, because you shall be like him. Isn't that a blessing? And that's absolute truth. Let's go back to our text. Last part of verse 4, it says in Galatians 1, according to the will of God and of our Father. James 1:18 says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his covenant. And then John 6:44-45, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, shall have heard and have learned of the Father and unto me. If any man is able to bow, if any man has a desire to bow, if any man has a desire to seek after Christ, it is by the will of God. It is not by the will of man. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Isaiah 64:6-8 said, but we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, and there is none that upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and have consumed us, because of our iniquities. But now, listen to this, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are the works of thy hands. And then he says in John 10:20-27, verse 30, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And there's it says, to whom be glory forever, in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, there are many reasons why that salvation is completely and totally of God, and that man plays no role in it whatsoever. One of those reasons is that the disciples asked the Lord and said, well, who can be saved? And Jesus said, you know, with man, it is impossible, and there's no way that he can be saved within himself. And then the second reason that it is all of God is, to be accepted of God, it has to give God all the glory. None of it comes to us. It all goes to God. The chief end of every son of Adam is to glorify God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, he will either be satisfied in his grace or in his justice. I'm going to leave you with one verse right here, 1 Peter 1:3-5. Listen to it closely. It's such a blessing. Blessed be, it's such a blessing to God's elect. All the promises that are in this book are toward his elect. 99% of them are toward his elect. You know, there's three things in here that talks about where it says, if you don't have the Son, then the wrath of God abide upon you. But the majority of the promises in this Bible are for his elect. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be built in the last time. Promises of God, they cannot be broken. And I thank him for that. I'm finished.